Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flexing in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
All right, welcome to the Wrestling Wrap Up. We have a very special episode today. Again, it's our second night. It's two nights, our WrestleMania live reactions. It is midnight. We are here. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, Matt. Matt, how are you doing after night two of WrestleMania?
WrestleMania, oh, night God. Two is over. We saw some things.
Lots of things.
I want to say I appreciate the fact that, was it Mark Wahlberg or was the other Wahlberg, Donnie Wahlberg? I don't know what the difference between them, but I'm going to go with Mark. Starting the show off, and he did say that they would keep us guessing. I think he lied, but it was a good show anyway.
Yeah, I definitely yada yada through the beginning of this. I'm like, why do we need all of this? Just get to the wrestling. But right? This was a show. Overall, you know, how did you feel about night two in comparison to night one?
If you just gave me night one, I would have been good.
Yep.
You know, night two was a solid show, mm-hmm. solid night.
Yes.
I think the highs weren't as high and the lows weren't as low. Is kind of
that's
how
a
I
great
say.
Point. That's a great, mm-hmm. great point.
I'm going to stick. Yes. That's a good soundbite.
I agree. It was like night two. I really liked it. Same thing. I thought. Together, this was probably the best like WrestleMania week since WrestleMania 35, I think. Like, I truly think that this was probably better than like definitely like the last three at total, like overall total. Not talking about like, you know, my favorite right. match from last year versus my favorite match from this year type thing. I'm talking about like from start to finish, all of the matches, the layout each night. I felt like this truly had something for everybody of both nights. So I actually really, really liked it. I think this is WWE nailing their two-night format. Like, this is it.
You know what? That's a great point, though, that there's something for everybody. So while, like, I definitely feel like night one was more for me personally in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. Night two was definitely less for me in mm-hmm. a lot of ways. And I know going into this night two that there were a lot of people saying, like, how could you top night one? But really mm-hmm. just comes down to preference at the end of the day. And I'm so glad that you're always reminding people, like, wrestling is for everyone, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Wrestling is for everybody, but not yeah. all wrestling is for everyone. Because, like, exactly. it's a good reminder just that, like, oh, okay, like, maybe I won't be in love and over the moon with this show, but that doesn't make it still a solid show. So I did a really good job, and I can't knock it. But along the way, I was kind of doing my letter grades for different matches, and I don't know, they're kind of just like meh,
you know, it's overall meh poor. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, actually, like an overall comment I want to make is just about steaks, not Omaha Steaks. This is not an ad. Yeah. This is not a paid sponsorship. Get your steaks wherever you can. Be a vegan if you want. But also, what I want to say, don't be a bad vegan. More importantly, though, I think that, like, To me, one of the problems with a lot of these matches is that the stakes just didn't feel all that high. Like Becky and Bianca, we saw the stakes there. There was so much pride on the line, so much tension, so much fire. Cody showing up yesterday, the stakes of his career being restarted and starting on the right foot and reestablishing himself. Here, I didn't feel it as much. And looking at a match like Edge versus AJ Styles, for example, I'm sitting there thinking, like, what are the stakes of this? Like, what do people have to gain or to lose by winning or losing this match? And I did feel like for a lot of these matches that the stakes, night two, I mean, the stakes felt kind of lower than what we got in night one. Yeah,
exactly. So we do have a message here. Let's see what it says.
Oh my goodness. WrestleMania 38. It's your boy Quabo. Holla at your boy Quabo, the Red Stereo Ranger. Up in the building. Holla at your boy. Ooh, why? Why? That last match was some mess. Some garbage. Some basura. Oh my gosh. Why would they give it again to Roman Reigns? That would be such a horrible finish. It was just so weak. I expected more from Roman, you know? Like, come on, bro. He ended with a spear. Come on, Roman. Do better, Tribal Chief.
Oh, I love that
one. Great. I love that one, too.
Shout out to Quabo, Red Stereo Ranger. Amazing. We love it. We'll take it.
Yes.
We need to start spending more time on stereo, just kind of going around and seeing what people are up to, because, like, there's definitely a lot of interesting stuff happening. But, yeah, look, I mean, Mari, how did you feel about that, the main event? I'll just say up front, like, I always feel like with Roman and Brock, like, it's never usually what I'm most excited about. And so I don't feel like I was kind of clouded by the, this is the grandest, greatest match ever, you know, the biggest match ever. Mm-hmm. But, like, how did you feel about the execution and Roman winning with the spear and Roman winning in general?
Yeah, it was the same. Like, it was the same. Like, it was a Roman and Brock match. We've seen it so many times at this point. You know, it's always like decent, solid, good. Like, just, we're just going to see them beat the hell out of each other. And, you know, there were some shenanigans with the ref, but from what I'm understanding, Roman's shoulder really did pop out, because he, at that one point right before the spear, he kept telling, Paul Heyman, like, my shoulder's out. And, yeah, at first I didn't know if it was a work or whatever, but it went directly into the spear and ended. So after that, people were speculating they might have had to cut the match short due to Roman's shoulder being popped out and all of that. So I don't know. I think that's one of the things we'll get more information, you know, tomorrow or later down the road in the week. But the finish itself aside, I think it was the right call to keep the title on Roman, just because somebody who's going to unify the titles means they're going to have to be on both shows. They're going to have to show up every week. You know what I'm saying? And historically, that's not Brock's MO. And I think Brock is good with his WrestleMania payday, and either he'll stay for WrestleMania Backlash or he'll go back to Iowa for a couple months and then come back later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Is it Canada? Where does he normally live? It's somewhere in the middle of Montana. Canada.
Mari, is it Canada? Saskatchewan or something.
Okay. Well, somewhere. He likes to be in the middle of the forest. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not really truly surprised at the ending there. So I think it was fine. I mean, it was a finish. It was a finale, I guess.
And you know what? I think, like, here's what I could say. So I was glad Roman won. I like that they're continuing the number of days, like, just letting it count up. And they did bring
up, oh my god, yes, so many days.
They brought up all of the, like, the other people, who Bruno Sammartino, who have Pedro Morales. I think it's those three that they referenced, actually.
Yeah, I
more
think so
days
too.
In Reigns. And you know what? I like that they're kind of going to establish a modern champion as someone who's up there in terms of the most days, because they have referred to him as the longest reigning modern champion. But yeah. I mean, they could get a lot closer to the overall title reigns, and I think that would help. I do want to see Roman with the championship until we get Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We need him. I'm still disappointed that he didn't show up here. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah.
We're just going to be waiting for, like, how long? Who knows how long? But we're going to just be waiting until he shows up. Because every opportunity that Roman does something big, whether it's Survivor Series or WrestleMania, I don't remember what the rumors were around the Rumble, but The Rock is always rumored. And so then there's room to be disappointed about him not showing up, which sucks, especially when the show ends, when you're like, oh, is he coming out? Is he coming out? Is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen? And it doesn't happen.
That's very true. I was expecting maybe it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? We're getting more of the Roman story. And so I'm not mad at that. It hasn't gotten stale yet. And to your point about Brock, I just don't think that face Brock, especially. Well, I don't think Brock in general is really built to be like an entertaining act week to week. Like, he's great. But you could only
protect
other people around him. He's the attraction. And also, like, you can't just have him go through wrecking people each week, because then that makes everyone else look kind of bad. And so it is nice that they have him off screen, because then other people can get over without having to sell for him, is kind of how I look at it.
And I think because Roman has both titles now he can actually, like, lose one of them. And then still keep the other one if need be. Like that. Like,
well, we'll if they want to, we'll see how they do it.
Yeah, if they want to stop the Universal streak, they can have him lose a Universal title and then have him keep going with the WWE one. So,
but you don't think they're gonna, like? Do you think they're going to truly unify into one championship?
I hope not. You know me. I'm still I hate it with every fiber of my being.
I know, and I'm not even gonna like get you started on that. But what I will say is that, like, I was thinking about this during the show. I'm not mad about there being one champion if they choose to do it the right way. I kind of have to give them the wait and see. You know, I always want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because they could really go in any direction they want to. They could change their minds a million times between now and Monday night. So, I'm hopeful, but you know how they like to play games with your heart. So
exactly.
We'll see.
And since we're already here, what do you give that match? What grade do you give that match?
Ooh, damn, I didn't write down.
We already talked about it, so we might as well, we don't want to come back to it.
No, we're not coming back to it. I would give that match, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, it is interesting,
like,
right?
I'm looking at my notes that I have here, and there was like the low blow and the belt shot and Brock kicking out, and then the spear to the back, which was weird, and then a spear that turned to Kimura, and then like...
Yeah, that Kimura was pretty cool.
I'd give this like... maybe I'll just give it a... let me give it an A-, because it wasn't necessarily for me, but it was what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah. It did feel stunted. I'll give it a B plus because I think it was a good match. I think that the right winner won, and it was pure just Brock versus Roman, and the low blow, all that was funny with the ref and all that. So.
You know, Paul
Heyman helping.
It didn't go on for too long, which is the part that I appreciate most. And before the finish, there was the moment where we get the close up of Paul Heyman in Roman's ear. Do it for your family. This is what you fought for your whole. And then he gets the win right out of that. And I love that. That was great. And so. I mean, again, it didn't drag out too long, so I'm going to go with that A- there, and I respect your B+.
Right. All right, so let's start at the beginning.
I was going to say, do you know, while we're at it, we could start at the beginning of the show, but Let's just start at the beginning. Why not? Unless I
what you're you, questions kind of. Were you going to say you want to go backwards? We could go backwards.
No, I don't even want to go backwards. I don't even want to go backwards because I think that we're going to get to my. We're going to get to the Austin Theory, Vince McMahon stuff, Pat McAfee stuff later. So I'm happy to save that because I have emotions about that one.
Okay. But,
yeah, where do we want to start here? I mean, if anything, I just want to point out, even before the first match, like there was the Triple H segment in the ring at the very start of the show, which made flashbacks to him 20 years ago when he used to basically just be in the ring for the first 20 minutes of Raw talking, even though he wasn't talking.
I got so scared.
This is a retirement moment.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice little moment. It felt like a weird way to start WrestleMania, but it was a nice moment.
Exactly. Like, I was so scared. I was like, is he about to get in here and talk for like 20 minutes? I was already like, oh God, I get it. But him just getting in the ring and saying, welcome to WrestleMania, and then leaving his boots, I was like, oh, okay, that was perfect. Like, I was like, okay, I'm fine now. Cause I legit thought it was going to be, I'm like, can we get this show on the road? But he did a great job. And you know what? Like, it is a massive blow, you know, Triple H not being able to ever wrestle ever again, you know, depending, but basically, retiring from in-ring competition.
Yeah.
Scary, like, you know?
He's semi-retired already, though. So,
oh, yeah.
It's interesting because he was kind of, I don't know how they phrased it, but he kind of was retired already.
They phrased it as from in-ring competition. So it's like he legit is like done, because I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago. He had the pacemaker, or last week he had the pacemaker inserted.
Like, I think my only thing about this was that, like, shoot, he is retired from the ring, but prior to that, he was sort of already retired. So it felt like a weird way to start the show. Like, if Roman Reigns had to retire, I could see, or if Big E had to retire, I could see him coming out to the ring at the start of the show and having that moment. But and I'm glad that Triple H had the moment. And I want to say I'll miss him, but I feel like we haven't like had the Triple H that I grew up with, that a lot of us grew up with, for a while, and that's okay.
Right.
I hope that health wise he's able to, you know, live and thrive beyond the ring. I hope that he's not, you know, I hope that he's going to be okay from here on out. But yeah, that was a moment to start with Triple H.
Exactly. So we got the Raw tag title match, and this match was like, it was good. It was a lot of like high points. I think Montez Ford, my God, man, how high can that man jump? He is so athletic. And then Chad Gable doing some really good like heel work, of course, really good mat wrestling. And then, you know, the audience, the people loved RK Bro, because this is one of the matches that I feel like was for the people, not me, but for the people. Right.
Well, okay. Just to kind of continue something you were saying, I feel so bad because Montez Ford puts in so much work constantly, physically in all of his matches. He puts in so much work. And I don't think that the reaction typically goes to him. Like, it might go to Riddle for hitting the top rope, the diving RKO. It might go to Randy for catching him in an RKO, you know, a month or so back and hitting him with a big, you know, kind of pop-up RKO situation. I don't feel like Montez Ford gets the credit that he deserves. And he is constantly, in this match, he was constantly putting his body out there. By the way, if you're listening live, feel free to leave a voice message, join the conversation. We're just getting started talking about the show. But I liked this match. I obviously wish that that the Street Profits could have walked away here with the win, but they looked good, not only in terms of their in-ring work, but just like their gold and red fit. It was nice. It was a good look. Exactly. It was a Mania look.
It was. Yeah. It definitely was a Mania look. And if you're wondering how to leave an audio question, there should be a little like bubble there with like wavelengths in it. You should be able to submit a question like that. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like it. Right. The Montez and the Street Profits, they did add a level of athleticism to this match, and all three of these teams really did have like really good chemistry. That is RK-Bro, the Street Profits, and Alpha Academy. But you know, Randy Orton and Riddle won again, so it's just kind of like they even called them on commentary the team that shouldn't have lasted or something like that, because I'm still gagged that it's been, I feel like it's almost been a year now since they've been tagging. I cannot believe they're still tagging at this point, you know? So, and they're still the champions. I don't know. I just want something fresh. I need something fresh at this point. They're going to have to, I'm assuming they're going to have to like move some teams in and out or something, because RK-Bro has beat Alpha Academy. They beat the Street Profits. Like, it's like at this point, who else is there? You know,
you just need storylines. Like, they just need storylines. Yeah. You could have, so quickly we forget Hardys, Dudleys, APA, that time where they, Edge and Christian, where they really centered around a handful of teams, but they just found ways to kind of keep it fresh and interesting and circulate people around, and they kind of threw in Rhino into the mix with Edge and Christian, Dudley and Lita, and you know, they just found ways to kind of mix it up, and I think that that's what I would love to see them do with the tag division now. I don't think they need to fully cycle in new teams. It's just how do you evolve things? Like, at what point do the Street Profits decide that they're fed up and they turn heel on everybody? Like, what is that all about? Oh, everybody, let's have our little solo cups and share a drink. No. You're not beating me at WrestleMania and then I'm giving you a drink to celebrate. No. I'm drinking that by myself. I don't know about you, but I agree. My tub of ice cream and my solo cup of whatever, and that'll be my night. So that was interesting. And then there's the whole Gable Stevenson thing, was just like, why are you going to put the Gables together, Chad Gable and Gable Stevenson?
And why would they be against each other? I feel like if anything,
you think there's a name.
He should have no. I think if anything, Gable Stevenson or whatever his name is, Stevenson should have joined Alpha Academy. Like, that would make way more sense.
That'd be so confusing, though, Mari.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, I actually
the Gables.
I'm not gonna say their names, but I have a couple of friends who are dating, and the like one has the same first name as the other's last name.
Oh,
and so that's the same situation. It's like it doesn't logistically work out. It just, I mean, their relationship works out very well. Shout out to my friends, they're engaged. But my point is,
oh my god, they're engaged. So that one person going to be like double name, like Taylor.
It could happen. Is what I'm saying.
Oh my god.
But I'm just also like, that's kind of why you need to keep people apart when they have the same names, because then it just gets really confusing. And so I did think it was weird, though, that they decided to even have this segment where they were together in it going against each other, because I mean, maybe we speculated about him being put with the Alpha Academy, but I don't know if I care about Stevenson. And
I know I don't,
not to be rude, but I don't know him, and I didn't watch the Olympics. I'm sorry, everybody. I am American.
Well,
I'm not patriotic like that, though.
Let's just give a grade, because
just give it a grade, Mari, and I'll probably end up maybe agreeing.
I'll give it a B, just because they got the crowd going. Like, no matter what,
yeah,
like the live crowd this was the opener and the live crowd enjoyed it. So I think
I'll give it a I'm with you.
All things factor.
I'll give it a B plus. Just because I think, to your point, it was solid. They got the live crowd and it felt like a Mania match. Montez really put in a lot of work with some of those bigger spots. Everyone looked good. So I'm giving this one a B plus. It felt good to me, at least.
Exactly. Next up, we had Bobby versus Omos. Bobby Lashley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Bobby Lashley. Versus Omos. It did go longer than I expected. It was pretty okay match. It was just a big hoss match type thing. And Omos had been, winning. But Bobby Lashley picks up the win. The only thing that I remarked in my notes was Bobby hit his head on the, he did what Beth Phoenix
on the
did.
Ring
post. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, man. It didn't seem to bother him too much. That was a scary moment.
I think he might have, maybe he kind of grazed it more than anything else. I don't know. I saw that though. And I kind of saw it the first time when Omos did that. I'll call it he kind of drove Bobby into the corner and the placement looked a little bit off. I think because Omos is so tall,
that,
Bobby's head, back of his head, neck hit the ring post. But again, he wasn't bleeding or anything like that, like Beth was back at the Rumble a couple of years ago. So that's a good sign. And he was able to finish the match. But to me, the problem with this match was just Omos. I would say that I don't think he was really ready. I don't know what it is. I don't know what he needs to fully put the pieces together as a performer. Maybe just more chances to actually wrestle. But
I agree.
It just kind of felt like, he could be such a bigger star. Literally he's huge, but he could be such a bigger star and shine. And I just don't feel like he feels like a big man, like an aggressor between the moves, in the same way that someone like a Kane or a Big Show even might feel very intimidating along the way. He almost looks a little bit lost sometimes in the ring.
Yeah, it's like Khali. Yeah, it's almost like Khali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think he has more potential, though. I think he definitely has more potential to be like your Canes and stuff like that. But I agree. I think he just needs more reps, which is why WWE has a really bad habit of bringing people up too soon sometimes. And it feels like a setup. I know this is kind of way off topic and we'll talk about Stand and Deliver on our next full podcast, but it reminds me of Bron Breakker. They're about to bring him up and I just that scares me so much for him, because look at what Ridge Holland just did. Why are we rushing so much? This is, like we said, this is a decent match. It was just I'm glad Bobby won, though. I mean, that was nice.
Yeah, I don't think it's nice that Bobby won. I mean, fine, but he didn't need the win. He didn't need it. It helps, actually. It does, I would say, for Bobby.
I don't know. But I think he did, kind of, though.
He didn't need it. He did not need
it. I think he
kind of
needed it. I think he did, because we talked about it. His last few months, he's basically been the butt of the Brock and Roman feud. I think Bobby did kind of need it, and I feel like it was, I feel like because this match transpired just out of last week, because Omos was on a rampage and then he was like, I want to face somebody at WrestleMania, and then Bobby showed up, they could actually continue to feud and build on their, they have pretty good chemistry. So I'm not mad at Bobby winning at WrestleMania, because Omos has way more time to do that. This one loss to Bobby at WrestleMania is not gonna put him back, I don't think.
No, but I feel this way about a few things on tonight's show, but you don't need to, like, there was no reason that Omis did not need to be the person to give Lashley that win. Like, they could have plugged in somebody else or something else to give him a win, to get him over a little bit more and remind people of how dominant he is. But I just don't love that for Omis. If it really does hurt him and affect him in a big way, well, then I think that's saying a lot more about just his potential otherwise, because he should be able to shine with even while taking losses. But yeah, I don't know about that. Like, I want to see him dominate. Even more.
But that's the thing. He's been doing it on Raw. That's what he's been doing on Raw. And it has not been. It hasn't been very effective. Like, it's not something we don't talk about it every week. So if him dominating these people on Raw isn't effective, then you need to do something else. He is already, they're building him up as a heel. He loses to Bobby. I truly don't think that this is going to be the end for them. I think that they're going to continue this feud. Yeah, and he might be able to get his win back.
I mean, maybe, but here's the thing I would say with Omis is that I think this WrestleMania was an opportunity for him to get, like, a big, meaningful win over someone who actually knows what they're doing in the ring. And he is early in his career, so it's not surprising that he, in kayfabe, couldn't get that win. But, you know, it's clear that he still has a long way to go to hit that next gear and that next level. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but the problem also is, like, if he doesn't go up to the next level, I think he's just kind of going to go down and fade out.
So, but
I'm worried about him.
And we're going to move on. But, like,
yeah,
but you're kind of saying things that are competing, because if you're saying that he's not ready for the next level and there's something missing, why would you give him a win? Why would you have him win at WrestleMania if he's not ready?
I think you could protect people like that. Like, they're, like, for instance, like, when I think WWE does this all the time, where they love to put people over before they're, like, Bron Breakker's even a good example of this, where they like to put people over before they're fully ready in the ring, but they could still get over if you kind of book it the right way. I would love to see Omis kind of get, like, some legit wins under his belt with some people who, you know, who it's like, oh my gosh, he beat someone who was world champion and who's a main eventer. He hasn't do that truly, though. So that's kind of where I'm like, I'm a little, I want more for him and, like, more high profile stuff. But I also want him to get better in the ring at the same time. Like, it's like, build him up in kayfabe with the character, with the wins, but then also, like, make sure that he's working overtime to get better in the ring. And then hopefully he gets better in the ring while he's also getting more shine and exposure on TV, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, I would give the match maybe just a C+, only because, like, there was no storyline going into it. There was, and honestly, I feel like whoever won, it was inconsequential to me. And I think that this isn't over. We'll probably more than likely more than likely see them on WrestleMania Backlash. I give it C+.
I'll give it a C-, only because we'll see. I'm so curious what they'll do with Omis, but C-, kind of for a lot of the reasons you said. Like, I don't think the match really means much of anything other than the fact that it's like Omis is a little bit more vulnerable than before, so what do they do with that is the big question. Get him some better gear for one would be nice, but
right.
Know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it with him. Hopefully we get to it.
Okay. Next up. Now, this was a fun one, man. This was Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay.
Let me just put it out there. This could have been 5 minutes shorter.
Okay.
Maybe like 4 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. I just want to put that out there.
Okay. That's completely fine.
Thank you.
I'm going to embarrassingly confess that we watched Jackass Forever on Friday. And
yeah, that's not embarrassing.
I laughed to stuff that I don't think I should have been laughing at. I was like, why is
you
this
laugh at the little,
still funny?
I watched a little bit of that movie yesterday afternoon. A little bit. So I got maybe like, I think I got like 30 minutes in and fell asleep while I was watching it. But maybe that was Friday night. I don't know. But I'm not going to ask you about what you laughed at.
I mean,
because I don't want you to explain it.
I know. It's what I'm saying is they are literally still doing the things that they were doing 30 years ago, 20 years ago, however many years ago. And I am older now, and yet I was still laughing, and it's very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show you that, like, I think
what's the lesson here?
I know, right? Just watching Johnny Knoxville and those, and like Chris Pontius and Party Boy, and you know, doing the Party Boy shtick and Wee Man. It's kind of like nostalgia funny, and then it's just the lowest of brow humor. Like somebody getting hit in the dick is just, it is just kind of funny. I'm objectively so, like, it's so bad to say that, but I said all that to say, I think that I really like this match, not only because it was just fun and silly, and it's just like it didn't take itself so seriously. Yeah. Like, that's what I just need, a break from wrestling that takes itself so seriously. And I really like that about this match. I love that about the feud with, you know, Knoxville passing out Sami Zayn's number. So everybody was blowing up Sami Zayn and stuff like that. Like,
rude.
Right. Then Sami Zayn crashing the Jackass Forever movie premiere, you know, being carried out, all of it was just all really good. And they, you know, they've been building since before the Royal Rumble, so it's that back storyline, and then mixed with just Sammy out the gate hitting Johnny Nacho with the Huluva kick. And I guess another thing about it, like with these celebrity matches, like Johnny Nacho is like, hit me, you know, we said it before. It's just like they're committing to it. It doesn't feel, you know, it doesn't feel like they're over it. It doesn't feel like they're making fun of the art form that is wrestling. They're like 100% in it. And you gotta like commend that to me. Because I watched the movie, I knew everybody on there. I thought it was so funny when Sammy went over there and was taunting Jasper and Dark Shark, which is Jasper's father, who like went to prison. I was like, Sammy, get away from him. He can really hurt you. and then the director, Jeff Tremaine, they were all there first. And then, I mean, like I said, Chris Pontius popping out as Party Boy, and just I think what really took it over for me. I don't know, but Pat McAfee killed the call on this. Like, he was like, Party Boy in his cheeks. Like, I was just dying. Pat McAfee was saying some of the most outrageous things on commentary that I've ever heard during that Jackass match. And it was so funny. They had a mousetrap table. It was great.
Yeah, the mousetrap.
But table, you disagree.
Like the table of mousetraps didn't like explode with the mousetraps going off. But you know what? Here's the thing about Johnny Knoxville in this match. I wish that he would have. It's weird because I liked how it all came together in the end. Like when I compare him with Logan Paul or with Bad Bunny. Or with Ronda Rousey. And I get that he's Johnny Knoxville. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, it just looked a little bit less like a goober. Like, that's the one thing I would say. Like, he didn't look like he trained for wrestling at all. Yeah. And it showed. That's the one
but
thing
I don't
say.
He hit a really nice Hurricane DDT, though. Like, off the top
he
rope.
He did hit a few moves. That is true. But you know what's interesting is that I, like, the thing with which I appreciated. Sammy took so much of the punishment and the abuse and the bumps here. And so I felt like that was kind of the story of the match. But I can't look at Johnny Knox. I want to take, well, like, maybe this is the point. Like, I want to take him seriously, but I'm seeing him in this red unitard.
That's where you're...
Brother.
That's where you're going wrong. None of that was serious, you know?
Yeah. It didn't... I loved the Johnny Knoxville of it, is what I'll say. I didn't love the Johnny Knoxville of it.
And that's fine. But, like I said, it's not for everybody, so...
Yeah, but I will also say the other piece of it is that, like, in this... So later on in the match, and this is kind of where I'm like, they could have cut, like, 5 minutes off. Because early on in the match, especially before all the different cameos came in with Pontius and, like, Wee Man and everything else, it felt like... It felt slow, like, you have Johnny there kind of selling. Sammy was again doing the work along the way. And this, you know, I was actually talking with Rob Sestrino earlier for a podcast. We were talking about WrestleMania, and I was just like, oh my god, Logan Paul was so good with what he did, and you could tell he put in the work and he's dedicated. And like, I just want to see that you trained is kind of the point. I don't care what the character is, and I don't know, I just wish that Johnny Knoxville maybe would have put more effort into being ready for this match. But he did his thing. Jackass did its thing, so that's, you know, you can't really knock that too much.
Yeah, I love the Wee Man body slam moment. Like, that was so cool. That was really
cool. How did you feel about Wee Man coming out from under the ring?
That
Like Hornswoggle.
I saw some people who didn't know what Jackass was, thought he was Hornswoggle. I'm like, come on now, that's not good. But, I mean... It worked to me. It all worked. Like, my timeline, people were like gagging at how much they really liked that match and how, like, just not serious and how fun it was. And I think Wee Man took a straight boot to the face, like, straight up. He got kicked in the face, you know. So I don't know what else he could have done. And it was like the Miz Army of the Dead match at WrestleMania. What was that, like 2 years ago or whatever, where it was just like, this is an overlong promo for a movie, but this one worked better because I seen the movie. So I saw, I was like, oh, here's the big hand. Here's the machine that hits you in the nuts. Like, They really did it all, and Sammy taking that bump into the mousetrap table was pretty funny, but then bringing out the giant mousetrap, it malfunctioning, and then like Johnny Knoxville kind of being hit in the head by it, while also the mousetrap pinning Sammy down so that Johnny Knoxville could pin him. It was just over the top. It was camp, Matt, and I'm going to give it a grade of, I gave it an A. I liked this match. I thought it truly had everybody on Twitter talking. Like, it had social media like up in a roar, and it's just sports entertainment. This was not wrestling. This was sports entertainment. You know, this was just fun.
I didn't think it was that entertaining. I would give it a B- though for what it is. For what it was, I would give it a B-. But I didn't think it was that great. Just like I didn't think the Jackass movie was that great. It's like you were doing that 20 years ago. Innovate. Entertain us. Do something new. We get it. You have a legacy. But you could also be inventive. And I'm just like, I saw this when I was 13. So that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm just like, give me, like, I don't know. I can't be excited about Johnny Knoxville in 2022. That's not happening.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, all right. So finally, let's get to the women's tag titles, right? So we gotta hurry it up. We ain't trying to have everybody here all night. I know we all gotta be somewhere in the morning.
Let me just ask, what's your grade for this match? I'm just gonna start there.
Like, up top?
Yeah.
It's hard because I thought the winners were appropriate.
Right.
The match itself was I don't even think this match was as good as the matches they've been putting on Raw and SmackDown. But then again, I think that the match, I think what it kind of suffered from was it was trying to be innovative, but the camera work couldn't really catch it. So I'm going to give it a B plus because so for the two, there was at the beginning, like near the beginning of the match, there was a two double dives to the outside. Liv and Sasha did double dives to the outside and they used the wide shot to try and catch it. And it just did not work. Like it just didn't work.
Right.
Not only did like the shots didn't work, we couldn't really see if anybody really caught anybody. Then the placement of the women, like how the women got there beforehand in order to catch both of them was really weird and awkward. So like,
and I'll even add just as you talk about this spot, there was even a split second where there was an awkward moment with Liv and Sasha in the ring where it's like, why are they just standing near each other? But neither of them is like, they're not like, let us fight. And then they dove out. So it was, I felt like this match had a lot of like kind of that awkward.
There was miscommunications.
Yes, exactly.
And so timing issues. Exactly. I saw that too. And so again, it was like, I'm wondering if they didn't know what was being shown because like I said, before they live in, and Sasha threw themselves out, we saw like, Shayna and Natty going to go beat up Naomi, but then they would go over there and they were kind of just like, not even fake hitting her anymore. They're just kind of sitting there, like waiting. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Which is what you would do if you're waiting for the people in the ring to set up. But I don't think they knew that the camera was actually watching them. And the same thing happened on the other side with Carmella and Zelina. And they were beating up Rhea. You know, it was like they did not know that the camera was on them, so they were like, they threw a few punches and then they just kind of crouched there waiting for the timing cue. But we saw
you also have to imagine though, when you have eight people in a match, that it's not only a matter of like, oh, is the camera on me, because I'm sure that's a factor. But then it's also like, okay, is that person where they're supposed to be? Is that person where they're supposed
to
be? Are they doing the spot that's coming up before the spot that I'm going to do with one of them after? Like, or even just like keeping on top of what is supposed to be happening at any given moment. That's probably a lot in any match. But especially in a match where like these people don't always work together. So they don't always they don't have the same chemistry that they might if they had an established tag team division, either in terms of the teams, but even more just in terms of like these two cross brand teams where they don't always have the chance to work together. And I know all of them, like basically all of them have worked together to some extent. It just didn't feel like it flowed or like the chemistry was there along the way. And I have to say, in terms of the outfits, Liv and Rhea, they figured something out with their kind of dominatrix type of look.
Fetish gear. You know,
I did appreciate that Naomi and Sasha, they had a color scheme thing going on there. You know, they made it work. I was worried at first when I saw them come out.
But
it all looked good. It all came together. Sasha's hair and car match Naomi.
Yeah, match
so that's
Naomi.
All that matters. I gave this match, I would give this match a B minus, and it has obviously nothing to do with Sasha and Naomi winning. I just like this, the idea that they could build a story in the future around Sasha's losing streak, but it's gone, whatever. Let's just hope they have a good tag team reign here, because let's really hope.
And I know that's what you really wanted to make it a thing, but I can see Sasha not wanting to make it a thing. Like, I think it is a monkey that she would rather just have off her back any way possible.
I don't think anyone really wants that, because I think that, like, I was going to try to go into thinking about who has losing streaks at Mania, but it's not a Yeah, not a great thing to have. I could picture a world where, like, next year, Sasha has a match with someone where she's like, I need to get rid of my streak. I need to beat you. But you know what? Sasha can make other things work. So I'm not worried about her. And you know what? They'll figure out something else.
Right. And she would need somebody willing to, you know, job and at WrestleMania, which, again, the fact that Charlotte has still not jobbed at WrestleMania is astounding to
She's
me.
She's a flair. She does it with flair.
Yeah. So what? So that's your grade. So let's. We have to stop down for a second and talk about the fashions, because Naomi and Sasha come in the car, real like Doja Cat, Sweetie vibes, like beep beep. You know what I'm saying? Like that was pretty awesome. Rhea and Liv. You know, Batman, like it was like some Batman Catwoman with a little bit of Donnie Darko inspired kink gear. It was what it truly was. Like, truly, truly was.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Others. Okay. So right. Maddie and Chyna did have a thing. There was a thing.
It should have been the Queen of Spades and the Queen of Hearts. They just should be like coming out with cards and stuff like that. Like, that's so easy to me. And that, you know, but then again, they were just like kind of put together like a few weeks ago, and who knows if they'll stay a team after this. So I guess it doesn't matter, but, and I think that's the feeling of with all of these, like Carmella and Zelina, they're, it was like they just said, yeah, I'm gonna wear whatever I want to. Girl, you show up like to the party at 10 too. Like, they both looked great. Carmella was clearly bride inspired, you know, because of her wedding.
Very much. She was giving me like WrestleMania 20 Sable and Tori Wilson versus Jackie Gata and Stacy Keibler in a wedding gown match or whatever it was.
Right.
Like, literally. They were wearing, like, I remember them wearing their, like, lingerie. That was literally what Carmella was wearing. I feel like she's worn that same thing on Raw, though, too. She did match Corey, though. Corey was best whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So, I mean, the fashion could have been, it could have gone a little bit further there, but again, I think that Naomi and Sasha looked great. They didn't give their looks, though, didn't necessarily give me winner, you know, like,
yeah.
I think, oh wow, they're completely matching. So they're definitely going to win the championships. They kind of each did their own. It was very authentic to them, but yet also kind of gave a good team vibe. So let's hope that team vibe continues, because we know that they like to play games with both Naomi and Sasha and take away their things.
Very true.
Not today.
The spot that I did like, there was the two Tower of Doom spots. That was kind of cute. Nobody got hurt. Shayna and Natty tried to go for the heart attack, but that was stopped. And then finally, we really got to talk about that finisher that Naomi and Sasha debuted. Whoa.
Oh, you sound unimpressed. I need to wrap my head around it. Because, you know what? Honestly, with this match, I kind of imagine Sasha maybe having similar thoughts to us in thinking about the match. Like the finish was not up to Sasha's standards. Like, I feel like she would have even wanted it to be a little bit more crisp. It looked great, though. Like,
are you serious?
I thought it was a great move, but it wasn't the actual, like, I guess it was like a lung blower type of spot. It didn't look as flush or as brutal as it could have in the execution.
Interesting. I thought it was great. I thought it Naomi was acting as a base, kind of like having Carmella had Carmella in what would be set up for like almost like a not a glam slam per se position. It was like the heart attack position. Sasha ran off the ropes, did a somersault, popped up, And at the same time, Naomi released Like a Glam Slam in a sense. And then Sasha hit her with basically a double knee to the face, a face buster.
I think in the future when we see this move, it'll look even better. Just because I have to look at the spot again, but who took the pin?
Carmella did.
I don't know if Carmella, I feel like she should
have. Zelina should have taken that.
I think she should. Oh, Zelina would have taken that really well, I think. Bumping onto Sasha more in that spot, I think. But it was it's a great move. And it was their first time doing it. It'll be great to see them doing it again and again and again for the next year while they're tag team.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I like the team. I just get nervous. I get so nervous about everything Naomi because, again, and Sasha, because, again, you know better than most people the opportunities they've gotten and then kind of had them taken away, especially when they've been faces. And so I just want them to be champions for at least a few months.
Until
SummerSlam.
Yeah, don't try not to worry too much about the future and just enjoy the present because they won. Our girls did it. They won at WrestleMania.
When are we getting the picture?
I know. We need the picture. We need the Holy Trinity. Yes.
Montez and Angelo Dawkins not having championships. It's still there in the background.
Well, I think they got to wait till Bianca's eye heals. Because Bianca, Instagram her eye today. It was a bad. Yeah, even when she covered it with makeup, it was horrible. So when they did take a quick picture backstage, somebody took a picture of the three of them, not the normal photo shoot. And Bianca had glasses on because that it was truly really bad. I just thought it was good. I can't wait. Hopefully with Naomi and Sasha having the titles, they'll bring some relevancy to the tag title picture, women's tag title picture. That's what all we can hope for right now.
It's going up. Things are getting better, hopefully. And, again, let's hope that they establish some other solid teams so that, when they have a feud that they're actually going up against people who aren't just thrown together out of nowhere. If they're going up against Shayna and Natty, not great. But you know what? Naomi and Sasha could make it work. So let's just wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Exactly. Next up, we got Edge versus AJ. So maybe I should ask you, Matt, as our Edgehead. Yeah. How did you feel about this?
I'm not an Edgehead. And you know what? Look, because I'm here's my thing. I think that especially in both nights of WrestleMania, they just gave certain people a lot of time because of who they are. You knew that Edge was going to have a 30-minute match. And AJ, and it was just a lot. And I felt like it was kind of too long. And then the finish was strange. Damian Priest standing there is the reason that AJ loses. I don't know. On paper, I wrote down a minus for this match. But I wasn't really that into it personally.
Exactly.
I was just kind of it was just a lot. And
again, it was so long.
Kind of the problem. It was. And then the problem, though, is that none of these matches exist in isolation. So it's oh my gosh, this match is going on forever. And then we have another match after. And there's more to come on the show. And you're just thinking, is this show ever going to end? And actually, it's funny because after this match, I felt like the pace picked up. But this was a lot. This was a lot. It was just exhausting to take in. But Edge had such a great entrance. And
yes.
I like his theme song. I like his look. I did see rumors of him starting some kind of stable.
Yeah, he's little, getting a faction. That's why Priest showed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of see where it goes. But I liked... Yeah, it was just kind of exhausting, to be honest. But there was nothing wrong with the match other than just the fact that it was so long. But it's an edge match. Like, when have we... His average match since returning a couple years ago is probably like 30 minutes at this point.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Literally, yeah, it's probably like 20 minutes, but I mean, most of his matches are definitely above that.
And you can just tell that he was just like happy to be like performing heel. Like, not like
yeah.
You can overly tell, but you can just tell that that's what he wanted to do. You know, like this, this is going to be his last run, yeah. He wants to do the full gimmick because he's such a good natural heel.
They need him in trunks. That's what they need. I really was hoping for when he took off his robe that like he wouldn't be in the traditional tights, just to like switch it up even more. Heck, maybe he'll cut his hair again. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, I like when people reinvent themselves. I always think of Chris Jericho as like maybe the ultimate person when it comes to constantly reinventing himself and somehow making it work. But you know, I love heel Edge. I love a faction, and let's kind of see where it goes. Bonus points again, looking into the future. Bonus points if we get a woman in the faction.
Yes,
at some point, because
people were suggesting two women, Rhea and Liv. Rhea and Liv.
Oh.
Rhea and Liv.
Rhea made a lot of sense, definitely. And Liv could too, actually. Yeah, I mean, interesting. I guess we'll see, but I really do hope they go there.
Yeah. I just know that Damian Priest
was very hot. Yeah,
he looked good.
Yes. He did, and he looked different. He looked different. I don't know what it was.
He needed this heel turn, definitely. That's what he needed.
Oh, totally. And it'll be good to see him in this spot. I guess what's so strange is that he's been such a lone wolf that that he'll actually be with people now. So,
well, he was with Bad Bunny for like half the year or all that.
Bad Bunny was with him though, like literally.
Yeah,
he was
that's
like
true.
His little brother and around him, and like he's so independent that it'll be. I guess that's the difference where he will be seemingly following Edge and supporting him in some way. I don't know. We'll kind of see, but it's fresh and it's new, so I'm excited about that, but this match I felt like had nothing to do with any of that. I mean, maybe other than the fact that we'll get a WrestleMania Backlash story out of it. But yeah, this was like a weirdly long match for having nothing to do with that faction. Like, it would have been cool to see an actual run-in from Priest, but
yeah,
what could you do?
Exactly.
We're not trying to book WWE for WWE, not for free, not today.
So yeah, I agree. I would give this match an A- because I think that it was for the people who wanted the pure wrestling on the match.
Like, yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
I think I just get bored sometimes because I'm like, give me the characters, give me the drama, give me like the camp of it all. But you know, I'm glad that we could both appreciate that it was really good. Just maybe not our things were the first night, it sounds like.
Exactly. I was so satiated with like Seth and Cody when it came to the pure wrestling. I was good. Like I didn't.
And by the way, I have to say Bianca and Becky was definitely the match of the night last night. But Seth and Cody did such an awesome job for what that was. It's just like Bianca and Becky amazing all around, and I had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
And I do not want to spend too much time on this, but the New Day the New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland. You're right, the match was all of 5 minutes, if that, which was kind of weird since, you know, they had gotten cut last night. And mm-hmm. which kind of sucks because it felt like they were being rushed when when the program ended up ending like 15 minutes earlier because of Brock and Roman kind of getting cut for time. So it's kind of ironic that they only get 5 minutes
yesterday. It was definitely overtime as far as we're concerned yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know what? This match, here's the thing. I was watching the match, you know, the New Day. New Day came out with their Big E inspired gear, by the night that he won the championship just last year in September. So that was really powerful. I was still trying to wrap my head. I was like, okay, wait, that's not Big E. Like, I'm not looking at Big E right now. Like Kofi from certain angles, Woods from certain angles. Kind of look like Big E, you know, like here, because you're just, I'm just saying.
Oh, because they were both wearing the singlets, right?
Yes, and so I was like, ooh, okay, wait, which one? Who's that? Wait, is Big E here? What? What's going on? And then by the time I could wrap my head around it, the match was over. I did appreciate / think that the whole Butch stuff was kind of weird, because you think he would have been, kicked out.
I don't know.
Ejected.
I thought he was ejected.
Yeah, that was weird, but it was a quick one, and I was not mad that it was a quick match, but it was like basically otherwise.
It was bad. Like, why is the New Day winning? I know.
Let me just give it a D.
D. Yeah. Yeah. We are on the same page here. Like, why are you? I don't like WWE. They're using the fact that Big E broke his neck. You know, of course, everything is an accident. Yes.
What? Mari,
I don't want to see it.
You have to understand. I legitimately, like, had not seen the clip of him breaking his neck.
Me neither.
Until yesterday on night one, when they decided to, like, out of nowhere show that clip, and then they showed
it again tonight in the package.
Both nights they showed it. And it's like, what? Why are you just showing this man breaking his neck?
Exactly, using it as storyline, and I just can't. It doesn't sit right with my spirit that they're using it as a storyline. And not only are they using it as a storyline, but Ridge Holland is like winning, like he's beating his friends who are trying to take revenge on it. Like it does not make me feel good at all.
Well, I'm not going to comment on the Ridge Holland aspect of it because, I mean, the company has trust in him.
Yeah.
Accidents happen. And it's never, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to hit you with a belly to belly suplex. And because of the botch, like, it's your fault, you know, because it's a two way, it's two people working together. And sometimes that doesn't work out so well, even though, like, obviously, maybe it helps have more experience. But anyway, I don't know. Clearly, I feel like WWE has put out the message of, we trust this person. We're not going to penalize him for what happened. And I mean, I guess I have to respect that, but he's not an interesting character.
That too.
Problem.
Exactly that.
That's my real problem.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. What we're finally going to be talking about, this was a clusterfuck. I'm sorry. We are just not on the same page tonight, apparently, which is fine.
Look, I'm just saying, okay, here's the thing about this match, or these matches. I was laughing my ass off.
I was not.
That we'll get to. I was during a part that we'll get to, because I was just like, this is, I was laughing like, this is Russell crap. Like, that's what that is. Mm, and yeah. I always loved that growing up. So I think we agree on the quality of the content. I just think it was so ridiculous. I mean, let's get into it.
Yeah, like for me, I was just like, okay, I thought it started out great. Like, okay, yeah. Vince McMahon comes out, introduces Austin Theory as the future Universal Champion. I was like, ew, okay, sure, whatever, I guess.
Oddly specific, okay.
Yeah, right, exactly. But then we get Pat McAfee versus Austin Theory, and this was surprisingly good. This was a really good match. I thought that Pat McAfee, I loved it. I loved that he was like just in the black tank and like black jeggings, I guess, like
black jeggings with a glitter on himself.
Yes, I was so for the first part of the match, I'm like, oh my god, is he really glittery, or is that like, did he get glitter from the mat? Like, what? I was so transfixed with the sparkle until they finally gave a close up and I saw the little rhinestones.
Yeah,
and I was like, that was perfect. Like, whoever made like it's so the simple. They were rhinestones, Matt.
I saw the shine from his entrance when he first walked out. I'm like, ooh, okay, there we go. So it was. Like,
I don't think I was paying attention.
No,
I think I went to the bathroom.
It was fair enough too. And I think he also kicked he kicked the football into the stands. Apparently, I didn't see that.
Oh, that's cool.
But I did see the football go flying. I don't know, but yeah. Look, I completely agree with you. And here's the thing: I would say this match actually really convinced me. I feel like I've given Austin Theory the benefit of the doubt, but this really convinced me, like, there's a lot there, because he's only 24 years old, and then Vince comes out and he's like, this is your future Universal Champion. So I'm like, okay, that's something. But, like, the fact that Austin Theory, he's been wrestling for, like, 6 years now, and he's only 24, and I'm just like, what, the gall. For you to be here in WWE working alongside Vince McMahon, who clearly respects you and appreciates you. Mm-hmm. And then with Stone Cold Steve Austin and obviously Pat McAfee is there too. Like, I don't know. It was interesting because I looked up Austin Theory and I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that he's been the world champion at Evolve.
WWE. He was big on Evolve.
Like, Full Impact Pro. And just like all of these different promotions. And I'm like, okay, all these different promoters have seen a world champion in him. I think that I know that we'll get there because Vince said it, but you know, I like that they build new stars, and I like that he's one of them, even though, you know, he wasn't always giving charisma or interesting at all. It was kind of just like muscle. Boy, I think I've called him a himbo before, and I'll stick with that.
Yeah, himbo. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah, he was a big deal before coming to WWE. I knew a lot of people who talked about him beforehand. He's just not my cup of tea myriad of reasons. But like,
as he hasn't done anything. I don't know how to phrase this, but as long as he hasn't done anything negative to certain types of people, then I'm okay with him.
Oh, well, we'll talk it offline. I thought it was a really good match. I mean, that suplex that oh sorry the superplex Which that the one that oh, Pat yeah oh my god what, so yeah, good
when he jumped up to the
but, yeah yeah I my nerves are shot. Like, I hate when two people are balancing on the top rope. I get so scared. So good. Yeah. So I like that Pat won. I was like, yes, Pat won, which means a clean sweep for our celebrities. All celebrities won every match, which brings us to a question. Derek asked us in the Jobheads Squadcast, where does the Logan Paul match rank among celebrity matches? And it brought me back to all three. We had three this week, and if you don't include Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
But we had Logan Paul, we had Pat McAfee, and we had Johnny Knoxville. I think Logan Paul was the best of the weekend. For like technical ability. I think Pat McAfee's was the best for like the storyline. Like the crowd was behind Pat. Like everybody wanted Pat to win.
I didn't realize he counted as a celebrity.
He technically does. I would count him as a celebrity.
Okay, we'll give him that.
We'll give him that. And then Johnny Knoxville, I think, comes in third, but is a great showing because it was a different style that a lot of people appreciated. So
it is hard to compare them. It is really hard to compare them because it is just a different thing that Knoxville was doing.
Right. But I think they wanted to talk about it like forever, like out of all of celebrity appearances. And I think Logan Paul's is good. I think it was good. Yeah.
I would even.
Nobody beats Bad Bunny now, though, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and then you also, I have to think of Rhonda in that conversation. And she did have some really awesome moments. I mean, really, though, there's a group of people who you can consider like the best celebrity matches. And then there's the tier below that. Like, you know, for a while, Maria Menounos performed in a lot of different WrestleManias, and she did a serviceable job. It was always very interesting to me. I was like, I don't know what business she has being able to do like a tilt-a-whirl head scissors, or like she was like actually doing some work in there. For maybe she's had like 5 matches or something like that. But you know, I would put her in like the next tier down. And then you have like the bottom tier where it was just a mess. And actually, you know, I don't even know if I put Snooki down there because she had a nice little cartwheel at her WrestleMania match. But yeah, I would put like probably someone like Snooki toward the bottom. Who else is
Drew
in the
Carey.
Bottom tier?
Like Drew Carey. Carey.
Yeah, they're probably anyone else come to mind who just was like horrible in the celebrity?
For me, I think Gronk. I didn't like any of his appearances. Yeah, he actually like got gone. Really, yeah. Like he was like, I'm gonna go do something, and then he didn't. Like he didn't even show up for that one WrestleMania.
Because he got signed. 2020.
Yeah,
was he there for the 2020 Mania?
But remember he was hosting it. Remember he was supposed to actually like be in it.
And Vince had to teach him how to jump off the platform. They have the clip of Vince doing like okay, Gronk, let me show you how to dive off of this platform. And then he like Gronk was scared, and then Vince did it first, and then he was like, okay, I guess I could do it if this 75-year-old man can do it. Gronk wasn't great. I think there have been a lot of people probably who kind of flat more than anything else. And then don't even get me started about the guest hosting on Raw back in the day when they had the stretch where they had the Bella Twins kind of not co-host, but just be like the assistants for those people. It was you know, it was what it was.
So let's keep going. So they could have stopped just at Pat winning versus Austin. That's what I was hoping was gonna happen.
I would give the Pat Austin theory piece of it a B.
Yes.
Actually, no. I would actually give them a B+ for what they did, just because the crowd reaction was so hot.
So great.
But then things kept going and they got ridiculous.
Very much. So then as like Vince McMahon looks noticeably angry the whole time because, you know, he just called Austin Theory the next big thing, and then Austin Theory loses to, again, basically a celebrity commentator. And so Pat starts jaw-jacking and says something to Mr. McMahon, and Mr. McMahon starts teasing, taking off his jacket. And at first I was like, haha, he's just teasing. Then he put it back on, he took it back off. He just kept slowly getting undressed. I was like, no. Till the point where McMahon is in his Mr. McMahon black tank style, just tank top. It was so bad, man. He distracted Pat long enough for Austin to attack him from behind.
I laughed so hard every single time Vince got physical.
He's so old.
I'm just like, exactly. But really, if you look at it, he is bigger than Pat McAfee.
Was like, he? I could not tell.
Perky for muscles, but his muscles aren't as like perked up as they used to be, but they were big. He definitely still goes to the gym pretty often.
Yeah.
So I did think it's interesting that his muscles were so big and droopy. But I also, I don't know. I just like the idea that Vince McMahon had a match in 2022. So that popped me.
I cannot believe that.
The fact that it was just so bizarre, to your point, where it's like, what is going on? Where Pat doesn't get a single ounce of offense in. And I don't know if the idea that he doesn't want to hit Vince McMahon because he's an old man, or doesn't want hit him because he's Mr. McMahon.
Boss, yeah.
Or what was going on, but...
Yeah. Pat was selling, though. Pat was selling so good. So kudos to
very
Pat.
Strange offense. You know, a lot of
clotheslines. I think so weird, yo.
The strongest clothesline in the business, next to JBL. Apparently, yes.
Yeah. So that was
the finish of this little mess.
Well, it's probably
a clothesline.
Well, I think so. Well, Austin Theory kind of attacked Pat a little bit more, and then Mr. McMahon, I think it was a clothesline, in order to then beat Pat McAfee. And then my husband said it. He was just like, this just makes Austin Theory look bad. Like, it truly does. If we're saying an 80-year-old Vince McMahon could beat Austin Theory, but you couldn't, it just makes you look even worse.
No, he could beat most of us.
No, it was weird.
Vince has some big forearms.
I have to give this a D. I did not like this. He's just so old. Yeah, he's just so old. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
No offense to old people.
No.
I just couldn't do it.
Back to like all the times that you've trashed old people because you do hate old people.
I hate old people. Whatever.
Anyway, I would give, because I love old people and because I laughed so hard at how bad this was, I have to give this a C+. I laughed so hard, Mari. But I was so uncomfortable. It's basically the same rating, except the fact that I laughed. It's kind of like you with Johnny Knoxville. Like, for me, I would take Vince McMahon any day, because that man is just ridiculous.
Wow.
And then we didn't even get to his stunner. I don't know if that...
We're going to.
I know we will.
So, after he beats Pat, him and Austin are in the ring. I mean, him and Austin Theory are in the ring. Okay. And then Stone Cold comes out. And then you're like, why is Stone Cold out here? But the look on Vince's face was like, oh, Stone Cold's here. Like, you know, the face. Yeah. Stone Cold comes out, grabs some beers, but more than anything, he first stuns Austin Theory, who oversells it way more than The Rock ever did. And I'm like, stop it. You're not The Rock, so don't oversell it that much.
Oh my God, don't try. No. Okay, Mari. If there's one thing you're not going to do right now, it's going to be to trash a good sell of the stunner tonight. Because
it was a good sell. It was just an oversell.
Look, it was definitely an oversell. And I wish I could watch that back well, I guess I could watch back in slow-mo, but I don't even know, like, physically what he did with his body, but it was, like, almost like, I think Theory, like, sold and then kind of ended up on his feet somehow and then, like, kind of sell again. I don't know. But it was the best sell of that whole segment.
Yeah, true.
At least first.
Well, yes.
Well, I mean, there's Pat. Well,
It was three cells. So Vince, so we get the Austin
is Vince
cell.
Okay.
Then yeah, we get the my God, this was so bad. Like the kick took Vince out before Austin could even stun him. It was just so bad. Oh my God, we gotta hurry up.
When you get older, you know how it is. You're you know, you just your brain and your body don't connect I said, you know how it is. That was not meant to be a drag. I'm just calling attention to
drag me.
But, your body and your mind just don't connect in the same way. And that's just what happened here. That's them's the breaks, you know? Like,
it was, it was so bad. Stone Cold had to basically chase him around the ring.
And this is why I would give this match a good rating. This, like, to me, that was all part of the C plus, because I'm like, that was so bad, but also, like, literally, Vince, please just you know what? Don't retire. Never change, Vince. Just keep doing this, because we did get here's the thing with Vince. He said, you know what? I'm not ageist. I'm going to let Moolah and Mae Young wrestle until, like, literally until they're gone. and that's what Vince did. But because of that, he's gonna use that to justify himself showing up for the next 20 years of his life. Because you know he's going to be around for another 20 years, Mari. Okay. That's just the way it is.
No.
And he's probably going to have a match in 10 years from now.
Well, anyways... So
calling it,
he just fell over. Like it, he didn't even. He just fell
he
over.
Tried. Okay.
He tried nothing.
Well, so here's what I'll say. So yes, last night Byron Saxton took a stunner, and he made the mistake that a lot of people make, I think, which is that they start to sell the stunner before Austin like actually grabs their neck and pulls them down. So it looks awkward when like, it's kind of like that twist of fate that Lita tried to do on Charlotte multiple times. That was just awkward every time. Like, and I think part of that's just timing. Now here, Vince was selling the stunner before Austin even did the stunner.
Right.
He fell back into the, like, what was he doing?
It was very bad.
We'll break it down later. Maybe we'll get
exactly
slow mo.
Play by play
and a whiteboard.
And then finally, he was celebrating with Pat, and then Pat got stunned after drinking the beer, so he did the quintessential beer spitting stunner, which was really great. So I mean, it was a lot.
Why? I know. I'm just like, why did we need to do that to Pat?
Right.
Who gets over here? Other than, does Austin get... it's like, who's getting over at this segment? And it's almost like no one got over at
nobody.
The end of it.
Not a single person.
Yeah, no. Really, no one got over by the... I mean, other than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Okay, but that's it. We gotta wrap it up. It's getting very, very late. So that was WrestleMania Night 2. We got to do it. What is your overall grade for WrestleMania Night 2, Matt?
I wasn't ready for that. A B? B. We're going to go with a B. Minus.
Okay. Yeah, we gave last night an A minus, I believe. I remember.
Correctly. Oh, well, then this is going to go with... We're going to go with a... You know what? Let me just be generous. A B, because you know it was good. It was really good. I just think that you get the funny moments, the fun ones in with the jackass people, with Vince acting like a jackass. So you know you have to appreciate it, and also some slow moments like with the New Day situation, but. You know, it's a story. It's going somewhere. They'll be okay. You can't really be too upset because it's the New Day. We know they're going to be on the top again. So soon enough.
Yeah.
I was actually, I will say, just as an aside, I was like, is Big E somehow returning tonight? Is he going to make the save? How is it? Like, what? What happened to his neck? But we didn't get that. So,
I think they said his injury is going to take at least 6 to 8 weeks or something, 8 to 12 weeks. It was something. I remember thinking that wasn't that much.
No.
Yeah, they're at 4 weeks now.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
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 Would you go with a B? I would go with a B minus.
I would go with a B minus. I thought it was I thought it was good, solid, like you said. But it just was it wasn't as good as last night. I completely agree. Like if we didn't have tonight, I would have been okay because I felt because even going into into WrestleMania tonight, I was like yesterday felt so much like WrestleMania. It didn't even feel like going into WrestleMania Sunday, quote unquote, that it was like WrestleMania, you know, it was weird. Like, I don't know. I was very fulfilled by the first night to the point where I was just like second night. Okay, cool. You know what? Whatevs. And then once the Sasha match happened, I was just on cloud nine. I'm not gonna lie. I barely saw some of that Edge and AJ match because I was in my phone celebrating Sasha and Naomi. Truly, but
good for you.
Yeah, I would give it a B minus because I thought it was good. I thought whatever you couldn't get on that first night, you got on this second night. You know what I'm saying? In terms of just running the gamut of the different matches and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot we could say, and I know we'll talk a lot more about this on our upcoming episode, really this coming week slash next weekend on the Wrestling Wrap-Up. But what do we do now, Mari? I don't ever know what to do in these shows. You're always leading the way.
We got to do the plugs. So if you haven't already subscribed to the Wrestling Wrap Up, go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed so you can subscribe to us on all major platforms. You can catch us every week. Me, Mari Talks Too Much on Twitter and Matt at MattScottGW on Twitter. You can catch us every week on the Wrestling Wrap Up. We will be going on a hiatus, so just tune in next week to figure out to hear when we're going on our hiatus. Matt, anything you want to plug?
You know what? No, you know what? I don't have to. You already plugged my social media.
Exactly.
But what I will say is, you know, kind of to wrap this up as if I am the one and only Julie Chen Moonves. Be kind to one another. That's my plug for kindness.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. We will be dropping this into our podcast feed. And wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye.